This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
7:45, I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning, Jonathan Feldstein. Good morning to you. Jonathan is the founder of Genesis 123 Foundation. How are you doing?
Howard, I'm okay, thanks. How are you doing?
I am well, thank you. I was going to say it's been a big week in Israel news, but I guess every week is a big week in Israel news. Let's start with the starvation issue, because obviously this is something that is very, very concerning, very upsetting. What is the real situation as far as we understand it?
Well, first of all, let's talk about what the real situation is not. There is not a famine that's taking place, and images that have circulated world media, social and formal media, showing pictures of emaciated children have all been debunked. They're lies. They're kids who were deathly ill from other diseases, and it took no time before the world media and anyone who wants to believe that believed that there was in fact a famine, and of course Israel was to blame. That doesn't exist. There may be hunger. There may indeed be hunger. I can't question that. I'm not in Gaza, but after almost 2 years and limited supplies, it's not like the Gaza that we knew 2 years ago where things were thriving, and we need to remember that. There may be hunger, and that's terrible. That's regrettable. But it is a war. I think Israel is managing that as best as can be. Considering that even the UN recognized recently, I forget the number of trucks that have been brought in, but if I read the numbers correctly, even the United Nations has indicated that Hamas has hijacked somewhere in the range of 90% of them. So if that's true, then I think ultimately that, regardless of how much food is brought in, I think that's the source of the problem.
Yeah, it's and yet the narrative is one that is very, very different to that.
The narrative, it will always be blame Israel. In an article that I wrote recently, I compared, you're old enough and I'm old enough to remember the starvation that was taking place in Central Africa in the from a real famine in the 1980s that caused musicians from all over the world to have a day of Live Aid, and they raised $245 million in 1980s dollars. And that was a real famine. This is again, to this extent that there's hunger, this is a regrettable side effect of war. There's no question. And I truly feel for anyone who has this food scarcity issue and have trouble putting food on their plates and plates of their children. That would be devastating to me. I also have to remember, as we talk about this, just yesterday, I believe it was Islamic Jihad that put out a video of one of the hostages who's been there for 665 days, I think we are now. And he's the one who's starving, along with 19 others who are alive, or we believe to be alive. They're the ones starving. They're the ones who are subsisting on one or one and a half pita bread a day, and having to drink salt water from the sea. So we need to just keep it all in perspective. And sure, can Israel do better to facilitate the bringing of food and other supplies to the civilian population? Absolutely. Should we? Absolutely. But we also need to be putting the pressure where the pressure deserves to be put, and that's on Hamas. And frankly, at this point, I think that the pressure needs to put on Qatar, And I'm waiting for President Trump to tweet out that if Qatar doesn't expel every single person from Hamas within 24 hours, then the U.S. will close its base or do something else that's very brash. Because it's almost 700 days, Howard. We're nearing 2 years, and it's really ridiculous. And again, that's not to diminish the human suffering of civilians in Gaza. I think that that's it's horrible. It's horrible. But Hamas can stop that yesterday by releasing the hostages and laying down their arms.
What I find absolutely mind-blowing is that Islamic Jihad released this video, which is an absolute horror for anybody to see. And it's the video of hostage Rom Baslavsky. The family say they've broken him, and you can see it in the video. He is starving. He is slowly starving to death. And he's saying, please get me out of here. Like, he can't walk. I can't walk unassisted. But somehow there's a break in the link between what he's enduring and who's causing it. And that all they need to do is open the door and let him go, and he wouldn't be in the situation. But Islamic Jihad release it, and everybody, and nobody says that. We're not seeing it on anywhere other than Jewish media or Israel media. And nobody else seems to make the connection that they can just, that he doesn't have to be in that situation. And in fact, if he wasn't in the situation, nor would anybody else in Gaza be in that situation.
That's the point. Exactly. That's exactly the point. We're 665 days in after they realized they made a mistake on day one. They could have turned it around within 30 days, within 60 days, to said, okay, we made a terrible mistake. We're releasing the people. We're releasing the hostages, most of 250 who were alive then, and 251, excuse me, and all of this suffering could have been avoided on both sides. Gaza could have been rebuilt, but Hamas is not about that. And the other piece is, and sadly, and I don't believe that it will change any time in our lives, and probably never, when there's Jewish suffering, you won't see it. When there's suffering that can be blamed on Jews, you'll see it, and that's the paradox here. We saw October 7th suffering in the aftermath of that on a limited basis, but by October 8th, people were already blaming Israel for the massacre and for an attack on Gaza that hadn't even yet happened.
It continues to be absolutely unfathomable. Let's also talk about a tsunami of Christian libels against Israel.
Yeah, that's an article I wrote that's been widely published. I don't even remember where, but people can Google that. We're still in July. No, we're August 1st already. Mm-hmm. So the first week of July, there was a allegation by church leaders in a Palestinian Arab village called Taiba in the Samaria that Israeli settlers, I say in quotes, with emphasis, burned down a cemetery and a church. Mm-hmm. Turns out that the fire, and then the next week, after releasing this statement where there had been no police reports and no evidence, but just a statement by the three priests of this one remaining Christian village in all of the Palestinian Authority, the following week, diplomats from around the world who were based here and other church leaders came to Taiba to witness what the evil settlers had done. Only a few days later, it took too long to discover why and have the truth put out, only to discover that, in fact, the fire that was set did not damage a church. It didn't burn a church down. It didn't. You envision a large building with a steeple and a cross on the top. Mm. It was the ruins of a 6th century, 16th an ancient church. I think Byzantine, if I'm not mistaken, but that's incidental. It's the limestone ruins of this church. There's nothing that burnt, could be burnt down. And not only that, but the fire was not set by Israeli Jews, but the fire was set by Palestinian Arabs trying to force out the Israeli Jews and their flocks, which would graze in the fields that that were being burnt down. And when Israelis went out to try to put out the fire, they were attacked by the Palestinian Arabs. That was Christian tsunami item number one. Christian tsunami item number two, if I'm remembering the sequence of it correctly, was allegations of a church. I think I'm doing it out of order. A church in Gaza that suffered a direct hit from an errant artillery shell, which was investigated and reported eventually. But the emphasis is on eventually. As soon as this church was hit, which is also terrible and regrettable, the Vatican, the Vatican's representative in here in Jerusalem, and world leaders immediately condemned Israel's deliberate action and attacking of this church, which was nonsense, which people needed to walk back. Many of these lies, I was going to try to find a nice word for it, but there isn't a nice word for it. Many of these lies were perpetrated by willing, sad to say, accomplices who are even pro-Israel, because the idea was that Christians were being directly attacked and they're by Israeli Jews, and that was unacceptable. And it is unacceptable if that happens.
Of course.
But none of that is what's happened here. And so I put pen to paper, and in a very lengthy article, I called it out, and I called out some of the people, including Ambassador Huckabee, including Senator Lindsey Graham, including somebody who I think is a very intelligent, albeit misguided, Catholic young spokesperson in America, Michael Knowles, who have come out expecting that Israel's responsibility is to disprove the allegations against it rather than those making the allegations actually proving the allegations. I don't know how South African courts work, but in American courts where I grew up, you have to prove the evidence brought against somebody who you're bringing charges against. You can't make allegations and then force the person or entity against which you're making the allegations to disprove it. So that's a tremendous situation. Fortunately, people walked it back. And I think, hopefully, fortunately, people will realize, yeah, even if they're coming from quote-unquote respected Christian leaders, we can't necessarily trust it if it's coming out of the Palestinian Authority.
But there's unquestionably, and we saw it with the New York Times, and it wasn't just the New York Times, it was many mainstream media publications in the UK publishing a photo of an alleged starving baby, a baby who already was actually in Italy for treatment but had nothing to do with the current situation in Gaza. There's a deep willingness. There's no question.
There's more than a willingness, they're enabling it. They're looking for it. They run with a story to slander Israel, regardless of doing any fact-checking, regardless of the truth. And then they issue a correction. You know, the New York Times is one of the biggest, but you're right. I saw, I don't know, a dozen, 15 headlines in English alone. And plus however many headlines took place all over that was the picture that probably will become a Pulitzer Prize winner for the fraud that it was involved. It really is. It was a stunning picture, but it misrepresented everything about it. And the other piece to say about that, the hunger, if there was actual famine in Gaza, we would see those pictures. We wouldn't have to have people making up.
Well, this is what I keep asking. I don't understand it. And there's no doubt in my mind that there are parts of Gaza where people are not accessing food. There's absolutely no question in my mind that there's terrible, terrible hardship in Gaza.
Agreed.
And it's heartbreaking. But why then – why – is Hamas and the media and whoever is disseminating these photos, why are they relying on false photos? We haven't seen genuine photos. Why?
Show me, exactly. Show me, and I don't want to make a Holocaust analogy, but there is an analogy there. The analogy is that 2, 3, 4, and 5 years into the dominance of concentration camps and ghettos, and Jews that were forced into these camps and ghettos, you saw actual starvation, and any pictures in any film show people emaciated, skin on the bones, with no fat tissue, with no muscle. Those were prominent. Those were prevalent and are still witnessed. If this was actually taking place in Gaza, this is the key point to our whole conversation, I think, this morning. If that were actually taking place, then there would be an abundance of real photos. And I'm not saying that there's not hunger. I'm not saying that that's terrible. But I am saying, you know, we do need to have something based on truth. And the more one promulgates lies, the further away from truth and the further away from any resolution we're ever going to get. And of course that leads, I know we don't have time, but that leads to the British, French, and Canadian leaders who this week announced that they're going to recognize the faux state of Palestine, which is also a big fraud and pushes us further away from peace.
That is all we have time for, but very, very strong words and strong feelings from Jonathan Feldstein, founder of Genesis 123 Foundation, as he continues, along with many of us, to fight the tsunami of mis and disinformation. It is 8 o'clock. Jonathan Feldstein, thank you for that.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.